As you've heard now a couple of times, our service today is gathered and built around the whole course of events in that final week in Jerusalem. Our scripture lesson today comes from the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, right in the middle of that week. Before this passage has been the story of Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, the story of Jesus cleansing the temple, many teachings and healings around town. And after this passage, the story continues with the Last Supper, with Jesus' betrayal, arrest, crucifixion, death, and burial. But now let us hone in on a few moments in the midst of that week as we listen for the word of the Lord. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the festival," that is the Passover festival, "or there will be a riot among the people." Now, while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This day begins a week of contradictions, a week of deep irony and mystery where things are not as they should be, and are not as we expect them to be. It's a week that we call holy, but in truth it reveals with raw transparency just how broken, twisted, and unholy we are as a people. This week begins with waving palms and ends with hammering nails to a cross. This week begins with children singing and ends in torture, mockery, and death. A week of contradictions, from darkness to light, from light to darkness. A poor, wandering, homeless teacher paraded into the city as if he were a conquering king. And then he is executed as one hated and derided by most, abandoned by the few who loved him the most. From that triumphal entry with palms waving and shouts of Hosanna, he walks into the temple, the holy place of worship, and finds that it too has become a great contradiction. It has become a center of greed and corruption, of economic oppression, hidden behind the mask of empty religion. From a house of prayer for all people, it has become a den of robbers. And so he cleanses the temple. He casts out what does not belong so that this holy place can be purified for true worship. And what is his reward? The religious leaders, the ones who say they care so much about purity and holiness and doing what is right, begin conspiring for a chance to arrest him. A week of contradictions. In our story today, we see this contradictory nature of this week on full display. It begins with Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, entering the house of a leper, one who is sick and unclean, one who's not allowed in good society. And yet it is the outcast who knows how to practice true hospitality, welcoming him into his table. And then, in the midst of all the patriarchy of that society, Jesus allows himself to be touched by this woman. He praises her. Of all his followers, he says, she will not be forgotten. What was her name again? It's not recorded. This woman without a name is to be remembered throughout all the ages. What contradictions. Anointed for burial while he is still alive. A great honor that is seen as just a waste of money. And it all leads to Judas, one of the 12, who will abandon one who called him to follow. And thus the week continues. Plans hatched in secret lead to an execution carried out in broad daylight. Sharing the intimacy of a final meal with the ones that were closest to him leads to a betrayal by one of those very friends. A betrayal with a kiss. Arrested for disturbing the peace and then put to death with a most violent act. Mocked as a fake king with a crown of thorns, and yet revealing the brokenness and corruption of all kings and empires in our world. The Messiah, God's chosen one, the one who was supposed to lead God's people to victory and might, is put to death as a common criminal by the enslaving forces of the world. This is a week of contradictions. But in truth, Jesus himself is the greatest contradiction of them all. He is God, and yet he is human. Creator and creation, one of us and yet nothing like us. Fully God and fully human. Eternal and everlasting, without beginning or end, and yet able to be put to death on a cross. This is the great mystery of the incarnation, the great contradiction that begins at Christmas and spills over into every one of his actions. The great paradox that leads him and us to the cross. As strange as it is, as much as this Jesus cannot fully make sense to us, this mystery is needed. It's necessary. He must be this paradox, fully God and fully human, if he is to save us, to redeem us, to reconcile us. His very being is at its core a contradiction, and it must be so for our sake. For we too are a people full of contradictions, are we not? We are a people broken and divided, conflicted and confused, created in God's own image, and yet denying who we really are with nearly every breath we take. created in love to love, created good and very good, and yet fallen and broken, sinful and unable to love even ourselves. Entrusted to care for God's creation, and yet ignoring and abusing it at every turn. We are given the gift of freedom, and we use it to enslave ourselves to the powers of the world around us. We're created in a beautifully diverse palette of humanity, and yet we're fearful and unwilling to trust anyone who's different than ourselves. We work and work and work and work so that one day we might be free to be our true selves, only to discover that in all of our doing, we have forgotten who we really are. We are a conflicted and contradicted people, aren't we? A broken and fallen creation, and that is precisely why we need this one and Him alone to save us. In His own contradictions, He is the mystery that alone can redeem us and reconcile us. He alone can transform all our brokenness into beauty, our fear into hope, our hate into love. He alone is the light that can shine even in our deepest darkness. In Him, this mystery of redemption, this contradiction, becomes a gift of grace. This is a week of contradictions, isn't it? Because the story doesn't end the way it's supposed to. The story doesn't end the way all other stories do. From light to darkness to light again. From life to death to life again. This week changes all of history. A dead body leads to an empty tomb. A crucified criminal becomes our resurrected Lord. It's this unexpected ending, this mystery beyond all mysteries, this good news of resurrection that reconciles us, that redeems us, that transforms us and transforms this week full of contradictions, into something that we can truly call holy. Thanks be to God. Amen.